Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Burn ban in effect. No ground fires by order of Presidio County. Lennon Foundation donates park to City of Marfa. By Mary Cantrell. MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. The Lennon Foundation is in the process of donating a public park located on West 2nd and North Gonzales Streets to the City of Marfa. The foundation, which operated a literary residency for visiting artists for 24 years and owns a number of properties in town, announced in April it would close over a period of 10 years by 2032 and would dissolve its assets. Patrick Lennon, the son of original founder J. Patrick Lennon Sr., passed away on July 27th in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Frank Lawler, executive vice president and director of administration of the Lennon Foundation, said the foundation was contacted by neighboring landowners who asked whether the public park could be preserved in its current state. The foundation decided to donate the park in order to ensure it would continue to act as a public green space for local residents. Lennon Foundation has always been grateful to the people of Marfa for their hospitality to us and the kindness shown to our visiting writers. We established the park for the benefit of the neighborhood, and our directors felt it best to offer the park as a gift to the City of Marfa for the continued enjoyment of all, said Lawler. Lawler was unable to provide any other updates on the remaining Lennon-owned properties in Marfa. At last week's regular City Council meeting, council members were receptive to the idea of accepting Lennon's park donation, and city employees were directed to work with Lennon on the technicalities of the gift. Trey Gerfers, president of the Parks and Recreation Board, was present at the meeting and said the board intended to hire the park's existing maintenance crew to continue upkeep on the park so as to not burden city maintenance workers with another project. Douglas Humble, local coordinator for the foundation, said the lots that make up the park were purchased in the early 2000s and at the time were just vacant, dusty lots. Humble's wife, Kristen Bonkemeyer, built the house adjacent to the park across Summer Street for the Lennon Foundation in 2004. At the time, she worked with Marfa landscape architect Jim Martinez to draft a plan for the park, which consists of areas for native grasses and gravel walkways. Humble said the foundation planted most of the trees, including some oaks and desert willows, at the park. The park has been used for birthday parties and yearly Easter egg hunts over the years, he said. The park's unique furniture, benches and chairs, carved out of a tree with a chainsaw, will likely remain, said Humble, explaining the foundation received them from a local church that no longer wanted them. Photo by Hannah Gentiles for the Big Bend Sentinel. Big Bend Reproductive Coalition co-founders Mo Eldridge and Lisa Ketile addressed the crowd at a fundraising event at El Cosmico this week. The event attracted over 200 attendees and raised over $10,000 to fund the coalition's efforts. Financial realities of school bond come into view as election deadline nears. By Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. The Marfa Independent School Board of Trustees held a community bond meeting Monday where members of the community received critical information about the district's existing bond payments and how a new bond to fund large-scale infrastructure projects would affect local taxpayers. Around 15 citizens showed up, some new and some returning, to ask tough questions about the feasibility of passing a $50 million to $60 million school bond during a time of national economic strain due to inflation, statewide hikes in property taxes, and local concerns over declining enrollment and affordable housing. School board members said they were unified in supporting the bond, specifically the construction of brand new kindergarten through 12th grade campus. School board president Teresa Nunez said the bond project was about bringing the community together by creating a public school for all of Marfa, a venue that could be designed with public green spaces and host community events. She said the old adage of new versus old Marfa needed to be overcome, and a new school would benefit the entire population. We do need to get rid of that term, the old and the new. We do, because we are Marfa. We're not old, we're not new, we are Marfa. That's where we come together. We built it, and that's how we promote us, said Nunez. Board member Yolanda Jurado added that the kids attending public school in Marfa deserved upgraded facilities. We absolutely believe that we need a bond. It's time for us to move forward. Our children deserve that. Our community deserves that, she said. In order to get the bond on the ballot for the upcoming November general election, the district is required to call the election by a deadline of August 22nd and has been hosting public meetings throughout the summer in order to spread awareness about the district's deteriorating facilities. In an interview with the Big Bend Sentinel following Monday's meeting, Superintendent Oscar Aguero said attendance at the meetings could have been greater, but he was thankful for those who showed up to ask difficult questions on Monday night, and the district believes they got a good sense of community feedback. Voters will decide on whether to greenlight a bond dollar amount, but how the money will be used, whether for renovations or new construction, will be determined later during the design process if the bond passes. The main option being discussed is the construction of a new K-12 school that would cost around $44 million, including demolitions. Additional renovations across other areas of the campus the district could work toward achieving over time, similar to a master plan process, would up the cost to as much as $57 million. The numbers provided are in today's dollars and do not account for inflation. At Monday night's meeting, it was revealed that the district could request voters authorize $50 million to $60 million in bonds, though the $50 million option would allow the district to issue the bonds over a two-year period and stay within their interest and sinking I&S tax limit per Texas state law, while the $60 million would exceed the rate limit, meaning bonds would have to be issued over a longer period of time. An exact dollar amount for the bond has yet to be determined, but will be very soon, as the district will need to finalize a number in order to get the proposal on the ballot this fall. The district has, however, recently provided preliminary numbers to give homeowners an idea of how much their property taxes would increase as a result of the bond passing. Dwayne Westerman of Samco Capital, the district's bond advisor with whom they have been working since the early 2000s, explained that a $200,000 home, for example, would see an annual increase in $560 or monthly increase of $46.67 in their property tax bill. For a $100,000 home, rates would increase to $210 annually and $17.50 a month. The home values are based on full values, not taking into account the $40,000 homestead exemption, but the tax impact calculations do take the exemption into account. While, like the bond amount, payment terms for the bond are to be determined, the district's financial advisors projected with 5.2% interest rate, a $50 million to $60 million bond could be paid off over 30 years. The bond will be insured through the Texas Permanent School Fund. Homeowners may apply for homestead exemptions for their primary residences only. In an interview with the Big Bend Sentinel, Cynthia Ramirez, chief appraiser for the Presidio County Appraisal District, said the average cost of a home in Marfa is currently $280,680. Homeowners 65 and older qualify to have their school district property taxes frozen, meaning they will not increase as long as no significant improvements or projects that add on square footage are made on their land. However, it only applies to primary residences, which must also be homesteaded. Ramirez said the majority of homeowners who qualify for the freeze in Marfa are already receiving the benefit, but citizens wishing to apply may visit the appraisal office. The Texas Education Agency sets limits for the school district's tax rates, which consist of maintenance and operations, M&O, and interest and sinking, INS, rates. The district's INS tax rate, which is currently 15 cents per $100 of property valuation, provides funds for payments on debt that finance the district's facilities. The TEA prevents MISD from raising the INS tax rate above 50 cents per $100 of property valuation. In order to borrow the maximum amount, the district will likely max out the tax rate, raising it from 15 cents to a total of 50 cents, which allows them to borrow around $50 million. The $50 million the district would owe would be in addition to the two pre-existing bonds they are still in the process of paying off. One bond, which passed in 2003, added a new junior high school wing and science classrooms to the existing high school. Plans to eventually demolish the addition, which is experiencing leaks and floor buckling, have been discussed. A 2007 bond was used to build two gyms, the Shorthorn Gym and Hibbets Gym for the elementary school. The district's total outstanding debt for those two projects totals just under $6 million, $4,685,000 in principal, and $1,309,753 in interest. If the district continues to pay off the loans at its current rate, using INS fund balance money to raise the payment amount from 15 to 16 cents, it is set to pay off the existing bonds by 2036. Skyrocketing property values were a topic of conversation at Monday night's meeting. In Marfa, those values have seen an average increase of 361%. Since 2014, according to the PCAD. Aguero said the board was aware of the unfortunate situation, but it was ultimately out of their hands. He did note that if values continue to rise, it could, in theory, allow them to lower the INS tax rate per household in the future. Under Texas law, school districts, which are considered to be property wealthy, which includes MISD, are required to send excess property tax revenue to the state for redistribution amongst all school districts. Referred to as Robin Hood, the law draws funds from the district's M&O pot. Aguero said this year MISD was expecting to pay back $1.5 million to the state because of this law. Because INS money is kept by the district, it is beneficial to try and spend INS money on things that would typically come out of M&O funds, like a new bus, and roll them into a bond proposal. MISD's bond to fund a new K-12 school, for example, would include the purchase of all new technological equipment, which would normally have to be purchased with M&O funds. Marfa parent Vince Fuentes asked what an average cost per year would be for keeping the district's current facilities running as is. Aguero estimated a $279,000 yearly budget, not including all bills, and said just this summer their projects to improve the look and feel of the schools amounted to $89,000. This included fixing up rental housing, the high school office and reception area, replacing ceiling tiles, updating gym lights, making safety improvements, and more. A new campus would alleviate the hefty maintenance costs the district is currently paying to upkeep facilities, said Aguero. Max Cabot, Marfa resident and publisher of the Big Bend Sentinel, asked whether the district was aware of a small town similar to Marfa with a tourism-based economy that passed a bond for a new school that MISD could use as a case study. Aguero said he was not aware of any. Unlike smaller rural school districts in Texas that may have highly profitable energy industries, he continued, Marfa's lack of industry and jobs presented unique challenges. I think we're kind of the anomaly. We don't have the gas, we don't have the oil, we don't have the wind that makes up that money. For us, we are honestly asking our community to fund this, said Aguero. We've been building and repairing as much as we can, and we're hoping that the community understands that at some time it's a need. Questions as to the history of the district's enrollment were also broached by Marfa resident Sterry Butcher. Aguero said enrollment had been declining since the 80s and 90s, steadily falling from 700 students to its current population of 269. He said the potential new school was appropriately sized, holding a maximum of 300 students, and they were hoping the new facility would help keep and attract more students in the future. If the bond passes, the junior high and high school campus will be used to house all students during construction of the new school, which would take around 3 years to complete, including the design phase. The cafeteria air conditioning, which is on a swamp cooler system, will need to be replaced or repaired in the interim, said Aguero, since that facility will continue to be used. A bond committee, which would spend 10 months designing new facilities and soliciting teacher and community input, will be established should the bond pass. Aguero said the community is still welcome to visit the district's facilities to see the situation for themselves, and with a number of events taking place at the school for the start of the year, administrators would be available to show people around if they are interested. I'm open to anyone who wants to come and talk to say, how does this work? How's it going to affect me? Said Aguero. Editor's note, Max Cabot is the publisher of the Big Bend Sentinel. Sterry Butcher is a former reporter for this newspaper under previous ownership. Tax rate impact on various home values. Impact of a 0.3535 cent increase on a homeowner's property tax bill. Home value $100,000, annual $210, monthly $17.50. Home value $200,000, annual $560, monthly $46.67. Home value $300,000, annual $910, monthly $75.83. Home value $750,000, annual $2,485, monthly $207.08. The home values shown are the full home values, but the tax impact calculation factors in the effect of the $40,000 homestead exemption. Courtesy Samco Capital. Estimates on how a school bond for large-scale infrastructure upgrades would affect local property owners were recently provided by Marfa Independent School District. The district will soon decide on a dollar amount for the proposed bond, which will then be put up for a vote in the November general election. City Council reviews audit results. Marfa and Presidio County Museum renovations and renews contracts for city employees. By Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa, at last week's regular City Council meeting, Council members reviewed audio results for fiscal year 2021, discussed next steps relating to the renovation of the Marfa and Presidio County Museum, renewed contracts for the city manager, attorney, and police chief, and more. All council members and Mayor Manny Baiza were present. Preston Singleton of accounting firm Singleton Clark and Company kicked off the meeting with a presentation to council regarding an audit of the previous fiscal year. He said the firm found the city's financials were accurately stated and they were able to issue a clean report. Singleton, whose company was performing an audit of the city for the first time, did have a number of suggestions and recommendations moving forward. He said the city should create more formal processes for paying out invoices, add greater checks and balances in a number of areas, including utility collections and bank reconciliations, better organize grant funds, and keep a closer watch on city credit cards. He also cautioned that the city's general fund should have 3 times a month's worth of operating expenses, around $400,000 to $500,000, and should not fall below that amount. City Manager Mandy Roan characterized the new audit as a chance to revisit and improve routine practices to be adopted by the city's bookkeeper. Roan was previously briefed on the audit results and is making steps to address the firm's concerns, she said, including seeking financial director services and getting the city's new accounting software system, which has yet to be fully phased in, up and running. It was previously stated the new accounting software, which will affect the user interface of the utility payment portal, would be complete later this summer, but it has been delayed into the fall, according to City Secretary Kelly Perez. Council unanimously voted to approve the audit, and it will be available for public view soon on the City of Marfa's website, cityofmarfa.com. Council moved on to discuss the status of the Marfa and Presidio County Museum's structural failures, which are currently undergoing an engineering assessment by company Insight Structures. The museum has had to close off 2 rooms due to severe sloping of the floor and walls, and the city has allocated $218,556.51 this budget cycle to repair the 1880s-era adobe structure. The city's plan is to work with Insight to develop a list of needed renovations, which they can then use to put out a request for construction services to complete the project. Roan and Councilmember Eddie Payares met with the engineer recently, who recommended the floor be removed in the affected areas to allow for further structural study. For the engineer to actually put a stamp on it and make a recommendation, he wants to remove the floors so he can get down there and see, said Payares. Because if we just fixed the floor and the wall without doing the subfloor and seeing what's underneath it, we're just going to run back into the same problems, added Roan. The city previously spent $50,000 on repairs to adobe walls for the museum, but failed to fully address the scope of repairs required. Roan said while it would be delicate, labor-intensive work, the existing wooden floorboards would be kept, save for a few that are too warped to salvage. Council voted to authorize Roan to solicit bids for the floor removal, which they anticipated would be a minor project in terms of cost. Next, Mayor Baiza said the city would have money to spend on repaving a couple more streets, on top of the streets already earmarked for repaving, because the water well and the groundwater storage tank projects that were supposed to receive those funds have been delayed and cannot be completed this fiscal year. The delays were due to factors out of the city's control, said Baiza, and the groundwater storage tank was repaired and holding up despite its leaks. The city will instead divert funds to pay for the repaving of Russell Street from San Antonio to Columbia Streets and Mesa Street from San Antonio to Lincoln Street. The streets department will repair and seal coat the streets, which should give them a 7 to 10 year lifespan, said Roan. Dates for construction are pending, but the city will work with TxDOT and Union Pacific moving forward on the repairs. The Marfa Activity Center parking lot and Nutrition Center / Meals on Wheels driveway will also be assessed for replacement. Council approved two requests from the Marfa Chamber of Commerce to hang banners and close streets for the Marfa Lights Festival, taking place from September 2nd through 4th. Council then went into three consecutive executive session meetings held behind closed doors to conduct annual reviews of City Manager Roan, City Attorney Teresa Todd, and Marfa Police Chief Steve Marquez, all of which resulted in renewed contracts. Roan rounded out the meeting with her City Manager's report, stating that the recycling center is no longer taking plastics. The regular recycling centers the city utilizes are no longer purchasing plastics, she said, and the city's attempts to pay someone to pick them up were also unsuccessful to date. Logistically, we just can't take any more until the market opens back up and we can start selling them and getting rid of them, said Roan, explaining the issue was widespread and not only affecting the city of Marfa. Richard Villarreal, the city's recycling supervisor, told the Big Bend Sentinel he is currently in talks with a San Angelo recycling company about arranging a pickup. In conclusion, Roan said the library would be closed on Saturday, August 6th, because the facility would be without power, while American Electric Power, AEP, replaces a pole. She said the city recently filled two positions at the library, one part and one full-time, and was still seeking a full-time public works utilities worker and would accept applications until August 5th. Fire at Napa Auto Parts and Santa Fe Cabinets results in total loss. By Sam Karras, Sam at BigBenSentinel.com, by Allegra Hobbs, Allegra at BigBenSentinel.com. Presidio. Around 8 p.m. last Wednesday night, a fire broke out in Presidio near the corner of O'Reilly Street and Ojinaga Avenue. Multiple agencies responded to the blaze, which resulted in a total loss of property for Napa Auto Parts and Santa Fe Cabinets. For days, dark smoke rose from the buildings as local firefighters worked to control the flames. Mayor John Ferguson arrived on the scene around 30 minutes later after receiving a call from Saul Pardo, Presidio's fire chief. Pardo was out of town attending a training at Texas A&M. Panicked, the mayor took to social media. I was like, oh my goodness, who's even here? Ferguson recalled. We did have a few people turn out from our volunteer fire department, and they worked super hard. Presidio has an agreement with the volunteer fire department in Ojinaga that allows the mayor of either town to make a distress call to the other and pool the resources of both departments. While it's typically the Bomberos Voluntarios de Ojinaga who cross the border to help Presidio's volunteer fire department, the agreement is intended to protect both cities during an emergency. Ferguson sounded the alarm around 8:30 p.m., and the Ojinaga fire crew responded quickly. They were here within 10 minutes, he said. For them to get here that quickly was really impressive. Comandante Sergio Urias, Ojinaga's fire chief, said most of their response time was spent waiting on the bridge to go through customs. When crossing the bridge, you lose some time waiting to enter the country, he explained. Urias led a crew of 8 volunteers to the scene. By then, most of Santa Fe Cabinets and a storage building used by Napa, were engulfed in flames. Both the Presidio and Ojinaga fire departments were soon joined by Presidio EMS, Customs and Border Protection, Texas DPS, and the Marfa Volunteer Fire Department. Ferguson kept everyone at home updated through Facebook. They all had to be exhausted, he said, of the hardworking first responders. I was exhausted just standing there. Gary Michke, Marfa's fire chief and Presidio County's emergency management coordinator, got to the scene as quickly as he could. The Marfa Volunteer Fire Department arrived around 10:30 p.m., at which point Santa Fe cabinets and the Napa storage building were destroyed, and the main Napa storefront was starting to catch fire. Michke speculated that the building's metal walls prevented it from being the first building to catch, but that the cause of the fire was likely to remain a mystery. There was so much damage, they may not be able to pinpoint the location. At this point, they're going to have to interview people who got a visual on it before it got completely destroyed, he said. That is the only way you're going to get close to pinpointing where the fire started. Urias, who arrived on the scene 2 hours earlier than Michke, agreed. It's hard to know exactly where it started, because by the time our team arrived, there was already a lot of fire, he said. Photos provided to the Presidio International by the Bomberos Voluntarios de Ojinaga, taken around 8:45 p.m., show both Santa Fe cabinets and the Napa storage building ablaze. Presidio Fire Chief Sal Pardo described the fire as a total loss of all three buildings. Three Presidio firefighters were checked out by EMS, and one Ojinaga firefighter was transported to the Big Bend Regional Medical Center, but has since been released. We don't know if it's smoke inhalation, dehydration, heat exhaustion. It was a pretty hot environment being exposed to that, Pardo said. In the past week, the community has banded together to try to help Rene Morales, the owner of Santa Fe Cabinets. The neighboring Napa Auto Parts was insured, but Morales' shop was not. He estimates that he lost $60,000 to $70,000 in the fire. We lost everything. We don't even have a single screwdriver. We lost the down payment. We lost the advance payments. We lost materials. All our profits went to ashes. Osvaldo Acosta, the owner of Rio Grande Wrecker Services, just across the alley from Morales' shop, started a GoFundMe for his neighbor. Mr. Morales lost everything in the structure and also doesn't have insurance for repairs, so any donation is greatly appreciated, Acosta wrote. At press time, Acosta had raised $1,500. Morales reported that Presidio residents had responded with creative ways to help, even when money was tight. He's also received donations of tools and time. All my friends are saying, if you're going to build another shop, just let us know. If you get a piece of land, just give us a call and we'll help you out. We can't help with money, but we can help with labor. Jaron Stevens, executive director of the Presidio Municipal Development District, was quick to act. With the help of her board, she was able to offer 3 weeks' pay to all 4 employees of Santa Fe Cabinets and will continue to offer support and counseling to help get them back in business. Our small businesses are the lifeblood of Presidio, and their employees are the backbone of our community, Stevens wrote in a press release. Mayor Ferguson agreed. Morales has done work for a number of local clients, including big names like the La Jetis Golf Resort. Ferguson believes his kind of handiwork is what makes Presidio-made products special. That's exactly more of what we need in this community, he said. Morales has got these clients looking for high-end stuff. I'm really hopeful that he can get going again because people gave him advanced money to go buy the lumber for projects they wanted, and then it went up in smoke. At Monday night's Presidio City Council meeting, Presidio Municipal Judge Viviana Cataño informed the public that the Office of the Texas State Fire Marshal has already begun their investigation into the fire and its causes. They've been in contact with us since Thursday, she reported. The Presidio International will continue to follow these developments. To donate to the GoFundMe for Rene Morales, visit https://www.gofundme.com/F/RENE-MORALES-SANTA-FE-CABINETS. That's https://www.gofundme.com/F/RENE-MORALES-SANTA-FE-CABINETS. Photo by Hannah Gentiles for the Big Bend Sentinel. A fire broke out in Presidio last Wednesday night, destroying three buildings in what Presidio Fire Chief Saul Pardo called a total loss. Marfa Recycling Center stops accepting plastics until pickup can be arranged by Allegra Hobbs, ALLEGRA at BigBenSentinel.com. Marfa. The Marfa Recycling Center has suspended its acceptance of plastics, a temporary measure brought on by shifts in the global economy of recycling, according to the city's recycling supervisor. Nobody is moving plastics right now, said Richard Villarreal. Surrounding recycling centers that would normally take Marfa's materials are not currently accepting plastics, explained Villarreal. Previously, Friedman Recycling in El Paso took Marfa's plastics, he said, but when he called them recently about taking the accumulated materials off his hands, he learned the center there has changed hands. When he called the company that accepts Marfa's cardboard and paper products, he was told it wasn't interested in plastics. Villarreal made calls to other recycling companies, but had no luck. It's all the same story, he said. It's not one place, it's all over. Now the Marfa Recycling Center has about 14 bales of plastics it needs to offload. A relatively small amount, said Villarreal, considering those have piled up over the last 9 months. He estimated about 75% of the products that wind up at the center are cardboard, with plastics comprising a fairly small percentage of the output. Put simply, plastics are not currently profitable, and if they can't be sold for a profit, recycling companies aren't interested in taking them. Then there's the matter of arranging transportation from a remote location like Marfa. But Villarreal and the city of Marfa are currently in talks with Butts Recycling in San Angelo, the company that handled Marfa's recycling pre-pandemic, in hopes of striking a deal. The company will need to come back to the city with a price for the pickup, ostensibly by Monday. The values of plastic and other materials fluctuate, explained the general manager of Butts Recycling, and right now the plastics market is down. As of right now, the company is still accepting plastics, but they are hoping the market sees a rebound soon. It's a commodity, said general manager Sean Stein. A lot of time it follows the petroleum market. If petroleum is going down, that goes down. It's just a commodity, so it bounces around more than anything else. It's tough, he continued. It's getting low, and hopefully it'll bounce back. But sometimes when it gets low, it'll be hard to move it. It takes money to process it. Villarreal noted the recycling industry was thrown into upheaval several years ago when China, once the largest buyer of plastics from the U.S., stopped accepting most plastics. Recyclers in the U.S. then had to find buyers. A lot of plastics ended up in landfills. Stein confirmed that Butts Recycling is currently in talks with Marfa to see if the company can help the city out. In the meantime, Villarreal made the decision to stop taking any more plastics to avoid a pileup. I did not feel it would be feasible to stockpile plastic when I have no idea when anyone would ever pick it up in the future, he said.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, July 28th. Parkway Elementary opening delayed until spring. The story was written by Jan Cranfill. Much of the Monahans Wicket Pyote ISD bond construction on Parkway Elementary, the high school, and athletic facilities are running behind schedule because of supply shortages and a lack of construction workers. Moving the third and fourth grade classes from Sudirth to the new classrooms at Parkway Elementary was supposed to happen the first week of August. These classes, along with all the grades at Sudirth, will begin their year at the Sudirth location. Another issue is the drainage retention pond located at the southwest side of Parkway Elementary that must be fenced for the safety of the students in the school. The retention pond is where city rain drainage flows and is collected. During heavy rain periods, the pond will have standing water for possibly several days. The Monahans Economic Development Corporation is responsible for the pond fence installation project. Quote, "We have accepted the bid of Odessa Fence Incorporated. They have placed an order for the materials and will begin work on the fence as soon as the materials are delivered. The fence side closest to the school will be chain link and the street sides will be brick and metal," said MEDC Executive Director Ashley Adalto. The Monahans High School tennis courts will also not be completed before August 17th, which is the students' first day back at school. Quote, "Looks like the tennis kids will have to be bused to another town for tennis practice because there are not any other courts in Monahans," Monahans Wicket Pyote ISD Superintendent Chad Smith said. The tennis courts, located on Doris Street between the high school and Walker Junior High, should be completed a few weeks into the semester. The football and baseball locker rooms are coming along, according to Smith. The upcoming football two-a-days practice will be done with portable lighting, but the football field and stadium will be ready for the first home game against Andrews on September the 2nd. Also on the board's agenda was the approval of the student handbook. Quote, "Not much of a change from last year," Smith said. Students and parents have to sign a form at the beginning of the school year stating they accept the rules and procedural guidelines for dress, absentees, hair, etc., laid out in the student handbook. Following approval of the student handbook, the Board of Trustees approved the employee handbook, which has all the rules and procedures for employees, such as dress code, sick days, interaction with students, etc. Employees are required to sign either a digital version or hard copy of the handbook. In a no-action-required agenda item, Director of Curriculum Kim Thomas gave a report on Senate Bill 3 that requires schools to set student goals for reading and math. "This affects pre-K through 6th grades," she said. Some examples of such goals would be 3rd graders being expected to read and comprehend 60% of the material presented to them by the end of May 2023, and for 1st graders should know all upper and lowercase letters. The board approved monthly financial reports and disbursements. Year-to-date tax collections are at 98%, which amounts to $27.1 million. Delinquent taxes in the amount of $736,000 remain to be collected. Present for the meeting were trustees Bobby Almanza, Josh Schwab, Donna Garcia, Board President Raymond Reyes, Steve Tuxhorn, Nancy Upchurch, Steve Fine, and Superintendent Chad Smith. The next MWP ISD board meeting will be held on August 29th at 6:30 p.m. at the Administration Building Boardroom, 606 South Betty Street. Drought to continue, Red Bluff Lake doing okay. Weather patterns over the past weeks have brought heavy rains to the north and south edges of the county, but little has reached Monahans, as temperatures remain well into the 100s. According to the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration meteorologist, the southwestern United States is facing its third year of La Nina, where ocean currents and jet stream flows divert moisture away from West Texas. For Monahans, this has remained true, but storms have followed I-10 into Balmoray and Fort Stockton over the past few weeks, as well as recently developing in the northern part of Reeves County, bringing rains to Orla and Red Bluff this week. The National Weather Service branch of NOAA predicts the area's forecast will remain mundane in the short term as an upper-level ridge inches slowly over the region over the next few days. Clear skies are expected and will prompt temperatures to pass the 100-degree mark as this ridge moves westward. The system may create isolated storms as it meets with moisture moving off of the Pacific, but little is expected for Ward or Reeves counties. If the area does reach into the 100s Wednesday, it will be the 31st day of 100-plus temperatures recorded this year. The yearly average is 20 days of triple digits, making this one of the warmest summers since 2011, when the area recorded 80 days of triple-digit highs. On Monday night, the National Weather Service issued a flood advisory at 7 p.m. for the upper Pecos River region. The interface of the westward-bound front and the Pacific moisture converged just west of U.S. 285 in Reeves County, driving storms north along the river and bringing rain to the northern portion of Reeves County. According to the state's water database, Red Bluff Reservoir gained 1 foot from Monday's rains, bringing it to 63.5% full. The reservoir, built in the 1920s, can hold up to 151,000 acre-feet, and it currently stands at 95,000. Red Bluff Water and Power Control District Director Robin Pruitt said the recent storms have not really affected the lake as much as storms in New Mexico would have. Quote, "We lost some signs in that downburst. Some of our pump houses blew over, but not much was added to the total. The water that would really add to the lake level comes from north of the reservoir," she said. Quote, "Right now, we are doing okay, though. The flow we are getting from New Mexico is a little lower than we like, around 20 cubic feet per second, but our average has been around 50 in previous years," Pruitt said. The good news is the water that is making it to the reservoir is of pretty good quality. Well, it is good for Red Bluff. Right now, we're looking at 5,700 parts per million in total dissolved solids, which is not that bad. We got as high as over 10,000 when we had a spill in the lake, likely due to a tank battery overflow, she said. We are seeing some white bass in the lake now, likely washed down out of New Mexico, which is really good. Currently, we are releasing water about every 2 weeks to farms in the Barstow area, but that is about all of the farming activity going on in our area. Grand Falls and Imperial have pretty much shut down, Pruitt said. Pruitt said she is also very excited about the new bridge to be built across Salt Draw. Quote, "This is a public safety concern," she said. "Reeves County has approved a $2.4 million bridge that will allow dam workers to access the spillway in times of heavy flooding. The bridge will be 100 feet in length, and Red Bluff has committed $500,000 to the project." Pruitt said traffic at the lake has been low over the past year, with about 4 boats enjoying the lake on the July 4th weekend. She also said the Pecos River has gone dry for the most part due to a lack of rain to the west that would fill the aquifer that feeds springs along the bank. Those springs are the other source of water in the river, along with releases of water from Red Bluff, typically keep the water flowing. Hot tax and budget's main topic for commissioners. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. Ward County commissioners approved an agreement with the city of Monahans regarding distribution of hotel occupancy tax monies, or HOT monies, to the county in this week's regular meeting, with the agreement effective at the beginning of the 2022-2023 fiscal year, beginning October 1st. Texas cities are authorized to collect a tax on each hotel or motel room rental, with that money earmarked to be spent to drive tourism within that locale. Under the agreement, the city agreed to pay Ward County up to $50,000 to help fund the Ward County Museum Complex and $400,000 to help fund the Ward County Event Center. According to the county judge, events scheduled at the Ward County Event Center, such as sporting events, business meetings, weddings, and conferences, bring overnight guests into town who spend money locally supporting the local economy, as does tourism generated by the museum. The money can be used for salaries, facility repairs, promotion advertising for the museum complex, and the Ward County Event Center, County Judge Craig Holly said. Quote, "This tax money that comes from the hotel motels is used to bring more people to Monahans to spend the night, and therefore comes back around to benefit the hotel motels and our community," Ward County Judge Greg Holly said. In the agreement, the county agrees that it will conduct a continuing program of advertising and promotion for the purposes of attracting visitors, tourists, and conventions to the area. In other business, Ward County Hospital Administrator and CEO Leticia Rodriguez also presented a hospital budget amendment for approval, amounting to $95,000 in unexpected expenses not included in this year's budget. Present at the Monday, July 25th meeting was Precinct 1 Commissioner Tino Sanchez, Precinct 3 Commissioner Dexter Nichols, Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelms, and County Judge Greg Holly. Absent from the meeting was Precinct 2 Commissioner Larry Hanna. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be August 8th at 9:30 a.m. at the Ward County Courthouse, 400 South Allen Street. MEDC approves fencing bid for detention pond. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. Meeting in regular session last week, members of the Monahans Economic Development Board considered approving a bid package to fence the detention pond near Parkway Elementary from Odessa Fence. The single proposed bid comes in at $236,000 and includes 6-foot wrought iron fence with brick pillars, reinforced concrete, 6-foot chain link fence, and a chain link gate. School officials announced last Wednesday Parkway Elementary would not open for the fall semester, but rather in the spring semester due to safety concerns related to the fence as well as other issues. Construction on the fence will begin in 2 weeks. Quote, "I reached out to 4 companies for bids, 2 passed on the project, and 1 did not respond in time," MEDC Director Ashley Adalto said. Board member Richard Irwin asked if they should wait on a bid from the 3rd company, but Adalto said, quote, "I've given them 2 weeks to respond already, and I don't think we can wait any longer," end quote. The bid was approved. In other business, the Board of Directors approved the 2022-2023 proposed operating budget and operating grant budget. The budget includes a projected sales tax revenue of $987,000 for the new budget year, combined with a projected beginning balance of $1.1 million, $450,000 in unclassified income, and $2,000 in interest on deposits leaving a total of around $2.59 million in available funds, a slight decrease from the current budget. The Economic Development Corporation is funded mostly from sales tax revenue, in which they receive 25% of the amount the city receives in sales tax revenue each month, creating a steady source of income. The proposed budget expenditures total $238,000, and line items include $11,000 for advertising and scholarships, $55,000 for legal services, and $4,000 for training. Also included with the expenditures is $151,000 for a professional service agreement, $58,000 for the MEDC director's salary with a 3% pay increase. Included in the professional service agreement is building and computer equipment supplies, travel, vehicle, and travel and training, which will all be paid back to the city. Capital expense and projects is projected at $1.6 million, which is down $100,000 from this year's approved budget, leaving a proposed ending balance of $761,000. In regular business, the financial report reflecting a balance of $2.3 million in available funds and minutes of the June 21st regular meeting were approved. Directors present were Brian Franks, Richard Irwin, Leticia Rodriguez, and Kathy Anthony. Member Hal Upchurch was absent.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.